You're listening to the Fantrax Radio Network. Fantasy sports lives here.
Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
It's hard to return a monkey these days.
I'm going to have to do some more research on this to see exactly what these zombie raccoons are doing.
What good was the snow guy?
Well, last I heard, he had some Velcro gloves and he was hanging out with some sheep in Montana.
I do a lot of Zumba.
Y'all don't understand. I never seen so many Dominican women with cinnamon tans.
You're Macaulay Culkin and you're just running around your house.
Don't tweet me if you drink strawby. No strawby.
Zardoz.
Well, speaking of garbage, it's a Nasty Cast. All right, welcome into episode 157 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Nathan Dokken, whom you can find on Twitter at Nathan Dokken, joined as usual by Van Lee. What's up, Van?
Do you ever look at the statistics and the expected statistics like XFIP or XWOBA?
From time to time.
Every time I look at them, I always think of that X Gon' Give It To You song. Is that DMX or whatever?
I just heard that yesterday.
That for whatever reason that always comes into my head, and I didn't bring it up on the show, or rather I won't bring it up on the show. I shan't, because it's, you know, linear time is a flat circle. So other than that, pretty good.
Way to pull back the curtain there, Van. Ron Rigney would never do that, would you, Ron?
I would not. I think too that now that you say that DMX song is in Deadpool 2, I believe, as well.
It was in Deadpool 1, I know that for sure. Because
okay.
That was every freaking advertisement for it, they did that.
Okay.
So they may have brought it back.
Classic
have you guys
stuff.
Seen Deadpool 2?
Mm-mm.
I have not.
No, I've seen enough Family Guy.
I loved the first one. I thought it was hilarious.
I thought
it was, pretty
was
good.
Fine, but it was just, I don't know, it felt like, again, Family Guy humor. It was just like, fart joke, and it was a little too much for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing about the first one is I felt like at times they were trying too hard. And so I'm afraid that that's going to be the case in the second one. But
as it is with my cranky self, it's because it got so much positive reception from everyone.
Yeah, you
in
just
the world,
hate everything.
That's why I had to kind of spit on it a little bit. But if it was treated like it is, which is just a fine, goofy adult comedy superhero movie, then sure, great, good to go. But I had so many people. I've got friends who are movie critics, quote unquote, who are like, "Oh, best movie I've ever seen," and it just that. Infuriates me when stuff like that gets considered as like a really, really good movie, because it's not a really, really good movie. These superhero movies can't be that because they adhere to the same horrible structure and it's the same movie over and over again, although this one was different. I will give it that. But if you take it for what it is, it's fine. I'm done.
I just clocked that rant at 5 minutes and 37 seconds. Not bad.
I have 2 minutes and 13 seconds on mine, so it wasn't that bad.
you're very ranty tonight, man.
He is very crotchety this evening. Maybe it's because the mustache is gone.
It probably is. I'm trying to think why. I should be in a good mood. That bread, oh, it's so good. I have a bread maker now, and it's the second best thing I've ever bought.
Are you out of bread now?
No, I still have like half a loaf.
Okay,
I literally did not eat anything but
bread. Out of it.
I didn't eat anything for dinner but half a loaf of bread, and that's totally fine by me. Carb up, buddy.
Is that your new slogan?
Carb up, buddy. Actually, do you know what my real catchphrase is?
I do, but I've forgotten it.
Crack open a window, will ya?
That's right.
I have t-shirts made with the Butu Ink logo with that written on the back. It's the best.
Excellent.
And no one
Ron,
gets it.
Ron, do you have a slogan?
I don't think so.
Where's the beef, maybe?
I don't know. I need to come up with one.
We need to – listeners out there, you need to tweet us slogans for Ron and Nate. Like, you two need slogans or catchphrases.
My slogan is like, watch out for that moose, Merv.
Okay, so is this like you trying to get ahead of the game and make fun of yourself so we don't do it?
Yeah.
It's talking about it.
That was my impression of your impression of me.
Fair enough.
Tweet us your favorite impressions at NastyCastPod on Twitter. You can find Van at ManlyVanly and Ron at TheRealMaDay. And, of course, on this episode, we welcome the great Paul Martin, who I... Van, now you just made me paranoid because I call all our guests the great. So I got to come up with new adjectives now. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
But you can find Paul on Twitter at PaulTheMartin. He's a really good follow. I like I like following him. I don't know what it is about.
I think we should call him the glorious Paul Martin. I think that's a good one for him.
Well, his like nickname is Paul the Martin, like the Martian. Yeah. Paul the Martian. So I don't know. I need another nickname. But anyway, if you want to email us instead of using the Twitter, you can get a hold of us at nastytraxpods@gmail.com. That is T-R-A-X. And a couple ways to support the show. If you want to do that, if you like us, you can rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. And that helps us out. You can also donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/nastypod. And you get access to our brand spanking new Slack channel. We're going to get some stickers out to you, too. So a couple of rewards for you there. And we started that Slack channel last week. And I've got to say, it's a hell of a good time.
It's got a picture of me with a mustache on it. That's all you need to know.
That's right.
And some sweet aviators.
Yes, those were purchased after I had the mustache. My friend was like, okay, I'm buying you aviators, because if you have that mustache, you have to have it. So she did, and therefore, you'd see a picture of my hair is wild in that one, too. It's good times.
You're wild. So yeah, that Slack channel is fun. So if you want to talk to us like on a personal level, pretty much whenever you want, even a dollar a month at patreon.com/nastypod will get you into that Slack channel. You can talk to us at any time. It's fun. So you can also listen to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball. That's the Dynasty podcast that we do. And with that, on today's show, we've got a couple news items. No more hand jobs. A few players who have switched Marine-themed teams. We're going to play Legit or Quit with a pair of outfielders. And, of course, round out the show with the segment that's sweeping the nation, the waiver wire. So before we take a break to bring on Paul, let's go ahead and get our plugs out of the way. Van, what have you got coming down the chute this week?
I just published my article for Fantrax today, fantraxhq.com, where I decided to take a look at next year's top 10 and surmise who might be in there. And spoiler alert, Nate, your boy, and now my boy, Jose Ramirez, top five. I think he's that good. So he's, I think, fourth on my list. So that's an exciting one to look at. I also do the Launch Angle podcast with Rob Silver and Jeff Zimmerman. You can find that on any app that you look at or fantraxhq.com. We posted our episode Wednesday, so the most recent is up. And, of course, the other podcast and a bunch of other stuff. I'm a producer with not only the Nasty Cast, but at Fantrax. So I post a lot of the shows and have more power than I used to. So I expect all of you to bow before my might.
Absolutely.
Of course, these two podcasts with you, you as upstanding chaps.
Great chaps.
Yeah, yes. Well, what would you rather be, upstanding or great?
I just think we need to stick with the great. I mean,
can I lie down? I'm tired. It's been a long day.
So the NastyCast, the Fantrax Dynasty that we'll be doing here in a little bit, the daily player analysis at Fantistics as always. Main thing I got in the hopper right now, not baseball related, is over at Big Guy Fantasy Sports, Bob Lung got the new consistency guide coming out June 1st. It's going to be live. You can pre-order it now at Amazon and on the website, bigguyfantasysports.com. You can get the PDF or you can get the actual printed version. Colby Conway, Josh Brigner, Bob, myself, we all contributed something to the guide. The guide's amazing this year, and it's affordable. It's awesome resource for your fantasy football draft, so go grab one.
Absolutely. We love Bob Lung here on the Nasty Cast. Had him on last year. So my plugs, same as always, this podcast, Fantrax Dynasty, Fridays, I've got Fire and Ice on Baseball HQ, not Baseball HQ, Jesus, Fantrax HQ, which websites do I write for anymore? And then Saturday and Sunday, I have at Razzball the two-starter Palooza and the top 100 starting pitchers. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take a break here. Come back on the other side with Paul Martin.
Nasty.
All right, welcome back to the Nasty Cast, everyone. And joining us now, you know him from the pitcher list. You know him from Razzball, where I also write. We are co-writers there. And also from Prospects 1500, joining the Nasty Cast right now, is the great Paul Martin. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks. I've never really been called great before, so that feels good. Great intro. Thank you.
That intro is great, just like you. Aww. We're all about making everybody feel good here.
Well, I know you've only used like one adjective the whole time, so if you would expand
a great adjective.
I was just going to say, aside from my co-hosts who always make me feel like we at least want to make our guests feel good. Van is just over here constantly making fun of my apparent Midwestern accent.
No, it's clearly the North Midwestern version of it.
Yeah, see, I'm from the Midwest. That's not a Midwestern accent.
I live in the Midwest.
I'm from Florida.
Yeah, but I'm originally an Indiana kid, though.
You've been gone for too long, though. You lose it.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, God. I need to take some, like, online vocal classes or something.
Fred Armisen's class for accents.
There you go.
That's what you
need. Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't have enough money. I'll pay him for some lessons. Yeah. So anyway, we've got a lot of baseball to talk about. We've got a lot of news, so we're going to go ahead and get into that. The first bit of news that we're going to talk about, Hanley Ramirez, who we affectionately refer to on this show as the hand job. He has been DFA'd by the Red Sox. So what's the fallout here, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, he is kind of boring as a hand job right now, isn't he? Like, he's just really not that good. No one has to convince anyone that he's good. But, like, is he that convincing that Dave Dombrowski will just pay $20 million for him to go play every day somewhere else? I need to get Hanley Ramirez, agent or lawyer, on my side for whatever he's convincing Dave Dombrowski to pay that much for. Because I know Mitch Moreland's really good, but I don't understand how Hanley Ramirez isn't really still on that team. It's kind of crazy to me because he's bad, but he's not that bad. He should still have a job.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if there's something that's kind of behind the scenes that's not really being reported, because, you know, I immediately thought of the Rays with Corey Dickerson, and to me that's a little bit of a different scenario in a few cases, because we know they were kind of just doing it as a salary dump. But here it's a little bit more mysterious as to why they're doing it. And, you know, I don't know necessarily, you know, you talk about Mitch Moreland. It's kind of strange to me to refer to Mitch Moreland as the better player of the two, because Moreland's a better defender and he's kind of the better hitter this year, which I never really thought would be the case with Hanley Ramirez. But it's a case too, is I don't think that necessarily Hanley's that great of a clubhouse guy. I mean, I don't think I would call him a cancer, I guess, but I don't really think he's a guy that, you know, he's an older guy, he's a veteran, but he doesn't really seem like the type of guy that wants to mentor younger players. And I think it's kind of a case of addition by subtraction. But like Paul, you said, that's an insane amount of money to pay a guy to play in another uniform. So that part of it, I don't quite understand. But to me, if there's something else going on behind the scenes, it's got to be pretty big for that salary to be paid out and for him to be sent down like that.
Well, a couple things I want to point out here. First off, I heard through the rumor mill, through the grapevine, if you will, that there's always a seat for hand job in Curt Schilling's Trans Am, known as the Silver Bullet. So keep an eye out for that. Him and Curt traveling the country, saying racist things about who knows what, and making bad video games at that. But I want to go ahead and give you a stats. Before April 15th, he hit .362, .415, .617, and 3 homers and 3 stolen bases. And I believe that's when we discussed him last on the show. Since then, after I saw he was DFA'd, since April 15th, he's hit .215, .275, .315 with 3 homers and a stolen base. So he's been really, really bad. You're right, it is shocking that he was DFA'd, but apparently the report came out that the Red Sox brass were planning on going one route when activating Pedroia, and then Alex Cora, the manager, came up to them and suggested, like, hey, why don't you do this instead, and suggested they get rid of Hanley Ramirez, which is shocking to hear that our manager would do that. But the key reason he did it is because he said that it wouldn't affect the team dynamic in the locker room. So that tells me that Hanley was being just a really crappy teammate, which is not at all surprising if you kind of see his personality come through and everything. So it is surprising in certain aspects because of the money and because of the name recognition, but it's also not because the Red Sox do have oodles of cash. So they're, I'm sure, totally fine just handing money out to no one for no reason and moving on just because they think it'll be better for the team. So as much as I despise the Red Sox, making a move like that, if it is truly based upon that kind of information or that kind of concept, kudos to them for just moving on.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be a contentious point with them just knowing that they had that huge vesting option if he reached, I think it was 500 plate appearances, something like that. So their goal was going to be to play him as little as possible anyway. But I did see after he was DFA'd, Craig Mish, who is intimate with the Marlins, you know, he sort of knows a lot of the people in that organization. And he said that he spoke to somebody with the Marlins who said that he was the single most difficult player that they have ever had to deal with, basically, with the Marlins. So definitely some lack of locker room presence there going on.
And they had Jeff Conine, which everyone knows was a total ass. I don't know that. I just made that up about Jeff Conine. Maybe he's a nice guy, but I really want to tarnish his reputation for no reason.
That's nice of you. Jeez. We're all about tarnishing reputations. We're going to drag Paul Morton's name through the mud by the time this show's over as well.
I'm excited.
But yeah, this is good news for Mitch Moreland. Don't be a bitch. Go add Mitch, as I always say. And I did that in my TGFBI league. So good news for me there. But some unfortunate news on the same team that we're going to get to in a little bit. So Mitch Moreland value up there for sure. But moving on to a trade that we had, Ron's hometown Tampa Bay Rays, ever the Tankers, have dealt Alex Colome and Dinard Span to the Mariners, along with $4.75 million of salary coverage in return for prospects Andrew Moore and Tommy Romero. So we're going to talk a little bit about the saves fallout, but I know you wanted to, Paul, you wanted to give a little bit of love to Romero as well.
Yeah, I mean, I really do like those prospects. I guess I'll just get out of the way first that I don't really think Colome or Span are really ownable at this point as far as fantasy goes. Like, they're kind of boring now. No one's taking over Edwin Diaz's job, and Dinard Span is kind of always extra at this point. But to get into the guys that the Rays got, I think I'm a closet Rays fan, which is kind of scary to me, but I always seem to like the moves that they make. And Romero was actually a guy I wrote about as one of my prospects of the weeks this year over on Prospects 1500. He's a college arm. He had 136 strikeouts and only 14 walks in 88 innings in his last year in college. And he's been just great ever since he was drafted in the 15th round last year. He had a start earlier this year where he struck out 8 batters, and that was against a lineup with Royce Lewis, Akil Baddoo, and Alex Kirilloff. So if you're familiar with any prospect, those guys are really some top names in the Twins system. And yeah, he's just been really good ever since he was drafted last year. And as a 15th round pick, you don't really expect it, but he's been great. And yeah, Andrew Moore isn't too bad. He kind of reminds me of Ryan Yarbrough, where he just has a bunch of pitches. He throws them all at like similar percentages, and he can totally come in and throw 3-4 innings with this whole strategy that they have right now. And with the Rays development system, I kind of like him a little bit more. So with all that said, as far as the saves go, it's going to be really weird for the Rays. We saw one guy get a 5-inning save. We saw Johnny Venters get a 0.1 inning save. And then Alvarado is probably the best pitcher back there. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine as far as that goes.
Well, let me start by saying, Paul, there's plenty of room in the Rays closet. There's just Yancey Eaton and myself, and that's
it. It's a
big
closet.
So come on in. More
they traded in the bandwagon for a closet.
Yeah, that's about all. Yeah, because we had all this space, and we're like, why? You know, we needed to downsize. You know.
So. Yeah, it's not a big closet. It's just an empty closet.
Right. It's like a linen closet.
It's basically like you guys and then DJ Kitty, and that's it.
Yeah, which you know, that's a pretty good party, I think.
I think so.
I'm on board. I'll help you guys out.
All right, cool. So the thing I kind of wondered about this is I agree with you on Colome and Span going to the Mariners. There's not a whole lot there really to fantasy-wise. The only thing I kind of scratched my head about is I wonder if they would have tried to move Colome during the offseason. If they might have gotten a little bit more for him, I don't really know, just because he's coming off of 37 and 47 save seasons back to back. He's not been terrible this year. He's been a little bit worse. The BABIP's pretty high, the 343, a little bit higher than the last couple of years. But it's kind of a quick sell off. I mean, but the other side of it is too, they're not going anywhere in that division, obviously. You know, and it's one of those things that they always play fairly scrappy, but you know, they're not going to overcome the Sox or the Yankees in that division. As far as that bullpen, it's probably the main bullpen in major leagues right now that I want absolutely zero to do with because of all the wonky stuff that Kevin Cash is doing as far as Sergio Romo starting games and Ryan Yarbrough, like you alluded to, Paul, getting a 5-out save I'm not really targeting anybody for saves at this point, but it seems to be that that could be a nice bullpen to target for holds. When I look at that pen, my favorite guy that I'm targeting for holds is Ryan Stanek. Ryan Stanek's a former first-round guy, highly touted out of Arkansas, has some pretty nasty stuff. He's averaging around 11 Ks per nine. So if I had to pick a guy, it'd be the holds route, and it'd be Stanek is who I'd go with.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alvarado is probably the best pitcher in the bullpen, so he should have the job. That doesn't mean that's how it's going to work out. I don't have a whole lot more to say other than that. Ron pretty much covered it. But I do want to point out that I remember, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever it was, the last time Lou Piniella was the manager of the Rays, that he got angry because his starters weren't going deep into games. So he said, fine, maybe we'll just start the bullpen then. And then here we are 10 years later, and they're starting the bullpen. So
Sweet Lou.
Whatever Sweet Lou was dreaming up finally came to fruition. So good for him.
Yeah, good for him, yeah. Roster Resource, I guess they penciled in Chaz Rowe as the closer for right now. But, you know, it's just terrible. I'm not totally sold on Alvarado closing just because they've been using him for like one plus inning at a time as sort of the fireman. And he's also a lefty and he's only 23. So you got to factor in like arbitration and stuff. So I'm really hesitant to spend any kind of fab on this bullpen. It's become one to avoid. And if you did invest in Colome, it sucks that he was traded so early. I kind of figured you would at least get like a half season out of him. You know, maybe it'd be halfway through June or at least July or something like that before he's gone. But you knew this was coming if you invested in Colome. That's why he was so cheap.
I'm going to stop interrupting here in a minute, but I want to get this out because it's bothering
me. Please don't.
Chaz Rowe sounds like a kid who spends like 8 years in college getting D's and his parents pay for everything. And he's just like, yeah, dude, my dad owns a dealership. Like, that's what Chaz Rowe sounds like to me.
I actually knew a kid in college named Chaz.
I'm sorry. Juggalo. One of those two.
I was thinking poor name, yeah.
Yeah, you accurately described him too there, by the way. Did you know him also?
Apparently I did.
But real quick about this pin, though, there's four of us here, and we've named how many different names? So that kind of tells you to know right there. I bet we named seven guys.
But my dad owns a dealership, dude. Come over to my party.
Jazz.
I'm 35.
Jazz, did you make the Jello shots?
I also went to high school with a guy named Chaz, which is pretty remarkable considering that my entire school was 300 people, like K through kindergarten through 12th. And there was a Chaz there. And it was spelled with an S and not a Z.
And 40% of the people all died from frostbite at some point.
Was there a Marv Jr.?
No. Everybody tries to switch it up. There are no Marvs that are under the age of 55 because they know that once you turn 55, your name turns into Marv anyway.
I forgot that's a state law. I forgot. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Get it straight. No more disrespect for the name Marv.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. All right. So moving on to a bunch of unfortunate news, which we're going to kind of just lump all these guys together. But we've got Ronald Acuna to the DL with a hyperextended knee injury that looked awfully reminiscent of Bryce Harper's injury from a year ago. But it sounds like his is considerably less severe. So that's a good thing. We also had Noah Syndergaard recently go on the disabled list with a ligament strain in his right index finger. Byron Buxton went back on the disabled list with ouchy toe. And Rhys Hoskins went on to the DL with ouchy face. So, Paul, we'll throw this one to you first. What's your biggest takeaway from this myriad of stars hitting the disabled list?
All right. Well, my biggest takeaway is my TGFBI team is just awful. And it's the Walking Dead in literal form. Ronald Acuna now on the injured reserve as well. I could add him to the list, but it looks like he's coming back soon. Like you said, I saw a tweet today or a few days ago from Grant McCauley. He's a writer with the Braves. And he said he talked to him one day later in the clubhouse. And this dude had no brace, no wrap and no crutches. And he was walking around the clubhouse. So he's kind of a savage. He walked off the field on his own. So I'm not too worried about him. Not too worried about Noah Syndergaard either. I think he's still amazing, and I don't think it's anything serious. Buxton is pretty terrible, though. I don't know. This is the same injury that he had a month ago. I guess it didn't get better or something. I'm not quite sure.
He was exactly. Yeah. So I'm a Twins fan. So just to clarify, I've been following Buxton. I like him a lot, obviously. And speaking of TGFBI, he's on that team too. But I'll bitch about that in a moment. But yeah, so what happened is when he was on his rehab assignment after he was on the disabled list from migraines, when they went down to the Dominican Republic, I think is where they played. So he went on the DL then, and then on his rehab stint, he fouled a ball off his toe. And so the plan was that he was just going to play through the pain. But apparently that had been affecting him more than he thought, so they just put him back on the DL for that.
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
The Puerto Rican nightlife is undefeated with Byron Buxton, huh? That's how it is. Yeah, but I mean, he has one barrel this year. Like, I love the stat. Like, and by the way, the new Baseball Savant player pages, I don't know if you guys checked those out yet, but they're pretty sweet. But anyway, he has one barrel this year. He's I don't know, man. It should come one day. I mean, we can all hope for it, but I'm not invested anywhere. And I'm really happy about that right now. And Rhys Hoskins was doing really well as far as like his underlying numbers go. Obviously, he started really hot, started to falter a little bit there. But being hit in the face by your own bat always sucks. So hopefully we'll see him back pretty soon. That was unfortunate.
Yeah. Real quick, my takeaway is you kind of like you alluded to, Paul. I have both Thor and Acuna in a lineup in a weekly transaction league. So that kind of sucks for the rest of the week. I don't really have Hoskins anywhere. Acuna, the knee injury looked a hell of a lot worse than what it actually was. Van, I know you've shredded your knee before. I've shredded my knee much in the same way, and it just kind of gives me it makes me kind of shiver every time I look at it. But I don't think Thor's is very serious. And Buxton, I got tweeted a question earlier in the week, and I'll throw this out to you guys. The question that I got tweeted was, do I like both for rest of season and in dynasty Buxton or Franchi Cordero? And so I kind of went with Cordero for the rest of this season. I went with Buxton long term, but I don't know. I'm kind of second guessing that a little bit as I see him just kind of pile up the strikeouts and the injuries and just kind of a snowball of just negative things with him. So I'm almost ready to move on from that. What do you guys say about that?
Ooh, I don't know. Franchi is tough. Younger too, isn't he?
I think I believe so. Yeah,
which is kind of weird. But I don't know, man. It really is kind of the same profile. The raw power, the speed, everything is there except for the hit. And Franchi is actually hitting more now. Well, yeah, one has just been awful for a long time, too. And one is just starting.
This was before Buxton was on the DL, before he got put back on the DL, too. So
I don't know. Right, well, I would say Cordero now and forever. Amen.
That sounds like a beautiful song now. Forever.
Cordero. You are now married.
Yeah.
Franchi Cordero.
I'll take it.
Chad Cordero.
I could do worse.
Yeah, Chad Cordero.
Chaz Cordero.
Ooh, perfect.
Or maybe like a two-person R&B group like Chaz and Franchi.
I would take Byron Buxton over Chaz Cordero.
Yeah.
But not Franchi. Yeah. But not Franchi.
I'm going to jump in. I'll go ahead and give you my synopsis of all these. Acuna, the DL, doesn't seem like a big deal, but you have to also remember that he has some back soreness as well. That's not kind of being, you know, pushed a little bit under the rug just because the knee is the visible injury. I wonder if his power might suffer for a bit if he, you know, as you said, tries to be the tough guy and walk around, no big deal. And that's probably a stupid move. I think the Braves are going to be careful with it. But if they do rush him back or he gets rushed back in any capacity, I wonder if that will affect his stats. Syndergaard is going to just miss the 10 days. He's going to throw a bullpen this weekend and then he should be back. But the one thing I'm going to say about that is I think it's a good thing that it happened because I think they need to start limiting him a little bit here and there because I do not see throwing 200 innings, throwing 30 innings, and then throwing 200 innings the following season. So I think they really need to limit his stuff. And just a couple of little 10-day DL stops here, skipping a start here and there, I think that's probably the smart move to make with him. And he's been good, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't quite look exactly the same as he was pre-injury. I think he gets back to that pre-injury level. But again, I think they need to be really, really careful with him. And the Mets are notorious for being idiots. Buxton is terrible and it sucks for Reese, but we'll see what happens when he comes back.
Yeah, so I'm going to sort of put a bow on this. I'm going to still go with Buxton long term over Cordero. I mean, he's giving you lots of power and speed right now, but he actually has worse contact and strikeout rates even than Buxton. So he's got his own issues in that department. But in the short term, it's still definitely the Franchman for me because I mean, last season was really good for Buxton after April. Like, after his atrocious April, he was a stud the rest of the way. And that speed is incredible. And when you have an ouchie toe, that's going to really impact your speed and your defense. And that's what his entire game is, like, premised upon. And we had seen a little bit more power from him than we had actually expected. So that's just a little bit of a bonus. You know, he just needs to make a little bit more damn contact. And they're still screwing with him. The Twins have handled him so poorly. You know, give him a leg kick, take away your leg kick, do this, do that, go up, go down. And the injuries haven't helped. So it's really no surprise to me that Buxton, with all the injuries he's continued to deal with this year, has been really just worthless fantasy-wise. But long-term, I still think that as long as he can stay in the damn field, that he will be really, really good. And I think that's just going to be my main takeaway from this whole group of guys too. I think it sounds like Acuna miraculously is going to be fine. Syndergaard, like you said, is going to be fine. And Reese had been slumping, but I had recently written him up on Fantrax HQ. And I said that, you know, they're, basically, to summarize what I, you know, came upon, it's like pitchers are just not pitching him inside anymore. And he's, having a hard time really pulling the ball for power like he did last year. And he hadn't really dealt with that very well to this point. So he needs to work on his approach as well. So hopefully when he's getting a new jaw installed, he'll have some time to get some new eyeballs and start going the other way a little bit more. But I think in the long run, he'll be okay too. So one last bit of news here that we're going to actually lump another three guys right into the same sort of discussion here, because we've got a bunch of prospects that have been called up, although Alex Reyes, I guess, technically isn't a prospect, but whatever, he just started today. And then we've got Dennis Santana coming up and starting tomorrow, and then Shane Bieber coming up and starting tomorrow as well. So give us, Paul, we'll start with you here. As far as this trio of pitchers, give us your short-term and long-term outlooks on these guys. Who you like the most?
All right. Well, I think Shane Bieber is obviously the most interesting. He's just so dominant with his command. He gets a ton of swinging strikes inside the zone, which is really interesting to me. And from what I've heard, he has a bunch of average offerings, which just sounds like a dominant Cleveland Indians pitcher. So I wouldn't doubt that we watch him come up and go on like a really dominant run. Adam Plutko is nothing. I don't think he's anything to be worried about. Bieber is definitely a starter that I would be looking to get for this year, next year. If you were able to get him in dynasty leagues early on this year, I saw him go for like $2 to $5 in some leagues, and that was a huge steal. Dennis Santana, I got for $2 in a dynasty league, which I'm really happy about. He's really athletic. He used to be a shortstop, high 90s sinker ball. He's got a really good slider. He's got a decent changeup, and that changeup had gotten really good over the course of last year, and everything is coming together with command this year. He's walking a ton of less batters, which was a confusing way to say that, but he's walking a lot less batters, a lot fewer batters, striking out a ton, getting a ton of swinging strikes. So definitely a fantasy relevant pitcher. And why am I blanking on the last name here? Remind me.
Alex Reyes.
Oh, you know, because he's just the best pitcher out of all of them. Yeah. Because he's not really a prospect, and he's actually just the Cardinals' best starter. So, I mean, he's the most intriguing out of all of these guys for now and for the future. But the other two names are kind of guys that came out of nowhere this year, but are really interesting as far and different. One of them, in Dennis Santana, is a guy who can walk a ton of guys, but also strike out. He kind of reminds me of a Tyson Ross. He's like fast sinker ball, fastball, and slider. That's pretty much all he has. And then Bieber is like the complete opposite, where he's more like a Kyle Hendricks type, where he can get a lot of swinging strikes inside the zone just by being deceptive with his pitches. They're both very interesting, and Reyes is amazing.
Yeah, I'm not going to say much about Reyes because we kind of know what he's about, and he's probably not available in any format at this point anyway, especially with the start. Yeah, today only went four innings, but still the rehab starts. Van, you got to actually see it firsthand just how dominant he was when he was coming up this season, getting ready to go. You guys know that I'm a Shane Bieber guy. He's my favorite on this list by far. The only thing I'm excited, but I'm excited with a little bit of reservation, just because I think it's going to be awfully tough to keep up a 92% strand rate, 183 BABIP like he has in AAA. But the command is there. We talked about him. You know, we previewed the Indian system, and I think, you know, like Paul said, I think he is going to come up, and I think he is going to be dominant. You may not get a ton of strikeouts out of him, but he's going to be able to pick spots and place the pitches, and I think it's going to end up helping out the Indians quite a bit. They need all the help they can get from a pitching standpoint. The only reservation I have about Santana, the walks are a little high, but also it just kind of all depends upon. If I read it correctly earlier, it depends upon the health of Kenta Maeda, how long he's up for. But he has had a hell of a season in AAA. AA, the walks were a little bit high. But I think he's definitely worth an add. And if Maeda is out for any extended period of time, I think he could definitely help you out a little bit. He's probably the better strikeout option of the two between him and Bieber.
With these guys, my list is going to remain the same this season and for the future. And it's going to go Reyes, Bieber, and then Santana. There's something about Santana I don't like, and I haven't seen a whole lot of him, but what I've seen, it's a cop-out is honestly what this is going to be, because this is like the old man in the Billy Bean movie, Moneyball, where they're like, oh, he's got an ugly girlfriend, so clearly he's a bad pitcher. It's something like that.
Are you yelling at the clouds again?
Yeah, exactly. Old man yells at cloud. That's me. But it's something
that's
I just...
That's what Ben brings to the show. The episode.
That really is. It's those something about clouds. Him I don't like, is the short answer. So Bieber, I like a lot, but I think Kyle Hendricks, it's the first time I heard that comp, and I think that's a really good comp. I think he could be a very good Kyle Hendricks.
All right. Well, I'll shout out Walter for that, because he's the one that brought that up.
That bozo brought that up.
that loser. He was the one that came up with that, dude.
I love calling him a bozo. It's so much fun. Alex Reyes is really good. Bieber, I think, can be really good. Santana, the book's out on me. The only thing about this for me is that I think Reyes is the guy that has a job the rest of this season, which is why, even though he's the one returning from injury, he's my top in, say, a redraft format, a this season format, because I know he's going to pitch this year. The other two, I don't know. It's supposed to be a spot start for Bieber. We don't know about the health of Kenta Maeda and the Dodgers, who have 1,000 pitchers. Rich Hill could be coming back any day, only to go right back on the DL. We don't know. So that's kind of how it's going to shape out for me.
I don't know if Rich Hill ever is coming back, to be perfectly honest. Like, it was really weird with his last start when he left again with the super blister after like two pitches or whatever.
Super like blister. I like that.
I've heard that a couple other places, and I've adapted it myself. It's perfect. But he just like, he kept the ball when he walked off the mound and walked all the way to the dugout in the locker room and everything, and just looked like he was on the brink of tears. And so I don't think I would ever expect Rich Hill to pitch maybe again, which is kind of doom and gloom. But hopefully that's not the case. But I'm not expecting anything from him anytime soon.
Hot take.
I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Right.
It would certainly be sad. But I mean, given his track record, would you really be surprised?
No.
That's such an odd thing too. Like is there ever a pitcher that's had this kind of issue with the blisters that to that extent where you pitch, you know, probably like two, three pitches and you're done again? I mean, been on the DL almost all season with that.
Needs to pee on his hands.
Yeah. Apparently, was that Jameson Taihan that said that?
Moises Alou used to be the one to do it. So we call him Moistness Alou. That was fun.
Nate, what caused your super blister?
Free subscriptions to certain websites.
Okay, cool.
$100 donation.
Yeah. $100 at a time, baby.
You don't even need to sign up anymore. It's just search.
Really
crazy.
Convenient. You can get straight to that blister. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, pitchers. So just because this is ludicrous, can I just read Alex Reyes's numbers from his rehab starts? So I know it's obviously much lesser competition, right? Double A and like Triple A and stuff.
Oh, you mean the Double A Royals squad isn't high end competition that I got to see?
The High A Royals squad. Now that is a team.
There's at least some guys on that one.
There are some guys, Melendez and Mateus and Lee, and they have a good team.
But the Double A squad, I can tell you from in person, two games in a row were hot garbage.
Trash. So, not even hot garbage.
Well, okay, tepid garbage.
Lukewarm garbage.
Petrified garbage.
Luke Molly garbage.
Luke, yes.
Don't you trash talk. Ooh, garbage trash talk. Okay, I'm done.
All right, so 23 innings for Alex Reyes on his rehab starts. Zero earned runs, 23 shutout innings, 7 hits, 44 strikeouts, and 7 walks.
And two of those walks came when it was raining and he was slipping on the mound. I can say that 100%. Right. He would not have walked either of those batters.
It's just absurd. So yeah, Alex Reyes, he's immediately slopping in. Yeah,
slopping. I don't know
that. That makes sense.
Big man.
Slotting into my top 30, top 100 starting pitchers over at Razzball. So, four shutout innings today, two walks, two Ks, pretty solid for a debut. But yeah, I would expect Bieber to probably stick around just because, yeah, I mean, talk about a guy who will save your whip in a season. He's going to be really good in that regard. And I think the Indians will try their best to keep him around. And yeah, Santana is definitely more of a question mark short and long term because God knows what's going on with that Dodgers rotation. It's just always a mess. But let's see, I guess we shall move on to our last bit of news before we take a break here. We're going to check in on a bullpen. Let's go revisit the Jays, shall we? Because it was a week or two ago when we got the news that Osuna was going to be suspended. It's not looking like he's coming back anytime soon. And we had a little bit of a changing of the guard. Clippard may not be the guy anymore. So if you're investing in anybody here, Paul, is it going to be the man Tapera who got the last couple saves?
Yeah, I got him in a couple teams this week. I figured it was just a good bet. Clippard is terrible. Coming from a Yankees fan, he just looks so bad in that uniform that I just completely repressed that he was an MLB pitcher after that. But Tapera's not even that. Yeah. Oh, the glasses, everything about him was just pissing me off by the end of that run. But Tapera's not even that bad of a pitcher. I think he's pretty good. I think if they gave him the job, he would be able to hold it for the year. But I have a question for all you guys. Is Sungwon Oh, like, is he good? He's good, right?
I think he's good.
Yeah, he doesn't walk people. He strikes a lot of guys out, gets the swinging strikes to back it up. And his velocity's down, but everything is still kind of good. So I don't know.
The Jays are actively trying to lose, apparently. Not only are they not calling out Vlad Jr., but they're putting the worst possible pitchers in at the end of the game.
Yeah, Clippard is just trash. If it's Tapera, then definitely go pick him up for sure. Because I don't think he's a bad pitcher. He gets over a strikeout per inning. I mean, he walks a decent amount of guys, but he's a reliever, so it's not going to do too much damage.
Yeah, I guess Tapera is the guy if you have to own somebody. But yeah, Paul, I think Oh's pretty good too. I mean, when you look at the stats, you know, he's right up there with the guys that they got in there. Real quick though, too, they do have. Lurking around in that bullpen, the Italian pumpernickel Joe Biagini is in there. So
he's
a guy you could consider as well. His 8.41 ERA. He's got a whip over two.
Solid.
So just put him on your watch list.
Yeah.
As Lenny Milnick would say, carve his name into your kitchen table.
Perfect.
That's it.
It's either going to be Tapera or Oh. I think it should be Oh, and I think it will be Oh. And the simple reason is that The Jays do tend to do those kind of old school things of, well, he has the experience. And Oh certainly has that, being the closer for the Cardinals for a while. And even last year in his bad year, there were some signs that said that it really shouldn't have been that bad. The BABIP was inflated. He gave up too many fly balls. He's gotten a little bit better about that. And I think he ultimately ends up with the job and takes it and runs away with it, because I really don't know if we see Acuna back this season. I kind of hope we don't. Or Osuna, because I don't like people that do what he did. So I think that – and baseball, kudos to them. They're finally starting to, you know, do things to – hopefully stop some of these domestic issues, whereas still, like, the NFL could give two about it, it seems like. So I applaud MLB in that regard, but we've also still got guys like I just forgot his name, the Texas reliever who almost killed the guy.
Matt Bush.
Yeah, Bush.
Still has a job. I think if you're – you know, you do something extremely horrible, you probably don't deserve a job where you can make, you know, more money than the top 90 or the 99% of the population. So that's just my political opinion, if you want to get into that. But I don't think Osuna comes back this year, and I think Oh takes the job, and I think he keeps it.
It's weird, the dichotomy between the NFL and MLB as far as, you know, the amount, I guess, of like that type of domestic abuse stuff. Like, it seems like in the NFL, you hear something about that every week. It's somebody new who's getting suspended or getting charged with something. And it's pretty rare in Major League Baseball. So I don't know if, like, do you think that more just gets swept under the rug in MLB?
I do. I think it's more coming to the light. It's just kind of like look, all of these, and I'm not trying to turn this into a political show, but a lot of these crimes that we're seeing, quote, more of, it's not that we're seeing more of them. It's that more of them are being filmed or more of them are being brought to the limelight. So I think that's a little bit of that case is that, you know, these things have always happened. It's just maybe people are speaking up a little bit more about them. Now, to say between the two, NFL and MLB, I do agree that I think there's a little bit being swept under the rug, but I'm still also curious as to why the discrepancy is so huge between the two, seemingly.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to debate that again at another time because we have to take a break right now and there's nothing I can do about it.
Nasty. Nasty.
All right, welcome back to the Nasty Cast. We've got Paul Martin and the Sea Hag. How's your beer, Ben?
Oh, it's delicious right now. Thank you for asking.
This is such a great name that I had to work that back in. I haven't been in the past, I guess, I've enjoyed a spicy pickle in my beer while
I've heard
we record this.
But yeah. I've heard this. I've never actually tried this. I enjoy pickleback shots. I've never done pickle in the beer, though.
I did have a good craft brew the other day that was like a sour brew, and it did kind of have almost like a hint of like pickle juice flavor in it, and it was actually really good the other night. So there could be something to this.
Uh-oh. It's a good thing. Don't tell them that.
I'm telling you.
Oh.
It's beautiful. Yeah, you got to text me the name of that beer again. I got to go on the hunt, go hop across the street to the liquor store. That is, living across the street, essentially, like really close to a liquor store, has cost me a lot of money since I moved into this house over the last couple of years. Blessing and a curse. But speaking of which, we are about to either bless or curse a couple players here. We're going to play legit or quit with a handful of outfielders. And by a handful, I mean two. We're going to start off with Nick Markakis, Paul. We're going to send this to you first. It's been crazy good this year, like the most bland guy that you could possibly think of. But he's hitting .338 this year with a .402 on base, a .509 slug, and 7 bombs. So are you buying into a new Nick Markakis?
I don't even know. I mean, he's new. He's not that new, though. He's always been a good hitter. That's the thing. He's just better this year. Everything says, I don't like to get too far into the X stats, but everything says that he's kind of going to stay the same. His X batting average is .322, which is top 10 in the league. His X WOBA is .386. His X slug is .484. So the numbers will come down a little bit, but they're going to come down to some numbers that are still really high. And for wherever you took Nick Markakis or however you got him, I'm sure for whatever he does for the rest of the season, it's going to be better than what you expected. I he's always been a good hitter. I can't stress that enough. Like it's just the home runs are back. I mean, he's hit 20 home runs in the past, so it's not out of the question that he does it again. He's not chasing as many pitches. He's absolutely demolishing fastballs too. He's hitting .362 against fastballs. So really pretty crazy right now for Nick Markakis. I'm into it.
Yeah, I think that you'll see pretty much more of the same. A couple things stick out to me is the lineup around him is crazy good. That team is playing extremely well offensively. You saw it last night with the comeback they had. I can't remember who they were playing, but I think they were down 6-2 at one point. They ended up winning 7-6 last night. So the lineup is there around him. He struck out 16% last year. He's only striking out 9.4%. I wonder a little bit about the power, but you know, like Paul said too, he does have a couple 20 homer seasons to his credit. So I think you gotta ride it out and you gotta go with him. I'd hate to see him get traded to a situation where it just suddenly tailed off, which I don't know. You know, if they're in it, I don't think they're going to move a whole lot of pieces. So I think you can expect a little bit of a letdown, but overall, I think it's going to be essentially what you're seeing now.
I don't buy the power at all. I know power's up across the board, but it was up last year, and he only had 8 home runs and 670 plate appearances. I think if he finishes with 15 home runs, then you're happy because that's about where he's going to be. I don't think he hits 20, but I do think he's maybe 80% of the rest of his statistics. So instead of hitting .340, I think he could hit .300 easily the rest of the year. So there's plenty of value to be had here, but it's – you know, we've discussed in recent weeks, like Nick Gordon. It's that kind of Nick Gordon value where they're going to give you a decent slash line, maybe some runs in RBI, but not much in homers and definitely nothing in steals. So I like him, but I wouldn't say this is a brand new Nick Markakis that everyone needs to buy into. But like you said, Paul, if you drafted him or if you picked him up, you're happy with what you're getting.
Yeah, I'm going to echo a lot of what you said there, Van. I think that a lot of this, you know, he's always been sort of an okay, like, just compiler, right? If you're in a deep league, he's a guy who you've had filling in for an injured player in your outfield at some point. If you're in like a 15-team, five outfielder league, he's the guy who's going to get on base at a 350 clip and just not do a whole hell of a lot else. And the power has come out of nowhere this year, and I don't think that it's here to stay. So I'm going to quit him being like a new level of, you know, 20 home run, 400 on base Mark Markakis. I think he'll continue to, you know, get on base, like I said, at a decent clip. But you look at his batted ball data, the hard contact is exactly the same, 33% where it's been previous years. He's not pulling the ball for power. He's not putting the ball in the air anymore. It's somehow his home run per fly ball is double what it was last year. So I think that what you've got is a solid player, but I'm not expecting any kind of home run breakout. So let's see if we can legitimize or quit Brandon Nimmo, who is our second guy here. He has come alive recently, and he's hitting .271, .422, huge on base, and a .533 slug. So, Paul, back to you here. Legit or quit on Brandon Nimmo?
Yeah, I'm a big old fan of Brandon Nimmo. He's an OBP machine, and I love players like that. Everything this year is getting better for him, too. The launch angle is going up. The barrel percentage is going up. The exit velocity is going up. He has a 464 xWOBA, which is absolutely nuts, and that's against fastballs this year. So I was just talking about Nick Markakis demolishing fastballs, and Brandon Nimmo is even better against them. He has 22 hits and 63 at-bats against fastballs right now, four home runs, four triples, three doubles. Like, he's just absolutely destroying anything that they're throwing. Like, they just have to throw sliders, breaking off speed, because if they're throwing fastballs right now, Nimmo is crushing them. And he's actually getting under the ball a lot more. So right now, he could be even hitting a little bit more pop-ups than he should be, as long as he gets his swing a little bit under control. This could be a change of approach for more fly balls and more power for Brandon Nimmo. So I'm all into it. He definitely has a good approach, and I'm all into really any prospect that has a good approach, because I think that's the hardest thing to develop as a hitter.
Yeah, not much to add there. I've been a fan of his for a long time, too, and he has a legit shot to be better than Mike Conforto. He's a former first-round pick. He's been around in the minors for a while, so he's had a lot of time to work on a lot of these things. Really hasn't seen the majors until 2016, so the thing I hate the most is I wasn't able to grab him in any dynasty that I'm in. But, yeah, for sure, beyond dynasty, he's a legit piece that you can add in yearly leagues as well. But there's a lot to like here, and he's going to do a little bit for you in each category. And Paul, you alluded to the OBP. Got to like the 15% walk rate. Van, I know you like guys that walk, too, so that's got to be a plus for you as well.
It is. And, you know, it's ironic that these are the two guys we're discussing, because in my opinion, they're virtually one and the same. Nimmo probably has a little more power and maybe a tiny bit more speed. But I also don't think he's a, you know, big homer or speed guy. I think if he gets to 15 homers this season, then, or 15 to 20, I think is what it would be this season. However, I don't know if that's a new career norm. I just kind of need to see it. I'm not going to consider him a power threat until I see a prolonged batch of it. I mean, we've only seen 135 plate appearances so far, and the speed, he has five steals in that time. He's only stolen 10 bases once in 480 plate appearances in 2013. He's not a runner. So again, very Nick Markakis like, but just like Markakis, he's going to hit for an okay average, and he's going to get on base in an insane amount. And so in an OBP league, there's tons of value to be had here. I just don't think I'd buy the power breakout here.
I'm a little more optimistic. I'm on the Paul side of this. He does seem to be a little bit of a launch angle guy. And he's pulling the ball for power too. 46% pull rate, 42% hard contact this year, and a 47% fly ball rate compared to a career 36% rate. So definitely getting the ball in the air a lot more. It's led to an increase in power. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's like a 20-25 home run guy now. And you know, like you said, Van, he's not exactly a burner. He's 5 for 5 so far as steals go. But if you get more than 10 in a season, I would just treat that as complete gravy. But he's still not really a complete hitter as a lefty. He's still really been bad against left-handed pitching, near 40% strikeout rate against lefties. So he might end up being like a platoon hitter long-term if he can't. You know, we've seen guys make strides like Max Kepler this year. He's really improved against lefties. So that's not to say that Nimmo can't do that over the long haul, but right now it's just not there. But he should score plenty of runs, and I'm in on the increased power, and obviously the on base has always been there with Nimmo. So I'm definitely saying legit on Nimmo. I'm liking him too. I'd be grabbing him everywhere I could. So with that, let's move on to the last segment today, and that is the glorious waiver wire. And Paul, we'll throw it to you here first. He's pitching today, actually, Joe Musgrove. I just saw, I think he went 7 innings. Oh my God, Fernando Romero got destroyed. Sorry, oh, yeah. I got this squirrel. Joe Musgrove, Paul, take it away.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't want to talk about Fernando Romero. He's dead to me now. But Joe Musgrove, yeah. So he looked real. That was today. Apparently the stats are already up, and I was looking at them. Used the cutter a lot more today, which was nice. I got to go back and watch the start. Apparently he was sitting at 2,400 rotations per minute on the cutter and the slider, his fastball, and I believe he has a changeup too. Those were at about 2,000 RPM, so really good spin rate as far as his first game was considered. And he put the cutter really well inside to lefties. The changeup was low and outside to them, and the slider was really good against righties. So I don't know, whatever the Pirates are doing with his pitch mix in that first game, they were really mixing it up. They were seeming to use the sliders really heavily against righties, use the cutters and the changeups really heavily against lefties. So they seem to have a plan for Musgrove, and that might have been all he needed, because he is a really talented pitcher. He has good velocity. He has good size. I mean, he looks like a workhorse out on the mound. So I'd love to see him be successful over on the Pirates, and everything that I saw today from the stats looked really good. So I have to go back and watch that condensed game or something on MLB.
Yeah, the only thing, I'd like to see a few more strikeouts if he can kind of develop that a little bit. But when you look through the minors, he's right around that eight, nine range as far as K per nine. So I think we're kind of topping out, you know, the 8.53 that he has so far. I think that's good representation of what he is. But the first two starts have been lights out. The ERA is still under one after the start today. XFIP is 3.21. So it goes up a little bit. Obviously, I don't think that the 0.71 ERA is going to be the sustainable ERA there, but still 3.21 isn't bad. You know, like you said, Paul, they're doing a nice job of developing him. He's another guy that we talk about here as a former first round pick, been traded around a little bit, and he's a guy that I was able to pluck off of waivers in a couple of deeper leagues, and I'm very, very glad I did, because I could benefit from, you know, we were talking about injuries earlier. I was able to start him in my 25-man 19 team roto league that I have 11 guys on the DL in that league. So he was definitely a welcome sight for me today, and I'm kind of reaping the benefits of that. But yeah, if he's out there, go grab him right now.
You know, it's interesting his name came up too, because he's very Shane Bieberish. I've seen their names tossed together a couple of times because they're control artists with well, you know, maybe not the best stuff, but good stuff. And we saw in today's game against the Cubs that he gave up 7 hits and 4 walks. You obviously don't want to give up 11 hits, walks, and 7 innings. But this was against a pretty good Cubs team. Only gave up 5 hits and 0 walks against whoever he faced his first start out. So the control is going to be the big thing for me, or in command, is if he can keep that in check, then I think he can be a really good option. I'm just kind of concerned about the innings, because he was hurt all of last year, so he barely pitched. So kind of Cinder Guardian in that regard of, like, are they really going to bump up his innings that much? I don't think they will. But if you get, I don't know, if you let him pitch the rest of the way and he gets to 120 innings, I think I'd be surprised, A, but I'd be delighted if that was the case. So he's a guy that I've always kind of liked, and I really hope it pans out for him. I'm just not going to pony up a lot for him, but I do like what I'm seeing.
You're not going to sell your pony for him?
I wouldn't sell my pony for anyone other than Mike Trout.
What is the name of your pony?
Little Sebastian.
R.I.P.
Indeed.
I was trying to stall while I'm pulling up where I had Musgrove in my top 100.
I can sing the Little Sebastian song. Bye.
That's
bye,
okay. I found
Little
it.
Sebastian.
He's good.
Only cried twice in my lifetime.
So I've got him right at number 50 right now, and I imagine he'll be working his way up, especially because Fernando Romero was at 44. That'll change. So moving right along to Dustin Pedroia, who has worked his way back up. What sort of leagues are you picking up Dustin Pedroia in, Paul?
Yeah, none. I don't know, man. It's Dustin Pedroia. I guess if you really need like a middle infielder or something, but I just don't really know what he brings to the table right now unless he gets really hot. I just don't see it. I would rather have Hanley. Yeah. No job.
I don't want either one. I don't really see a scenario where I need to add Dustin Pedroia anywhere. I haven't really been a Dustin Pedroia guy since about 2012. So I think I'll take a hard pass on this one.
It's funny that
the
you
year
guys
he
are...
won MVP or
right. Like, yeah, whatever year that we have, that was 2012. Yeah. That's probably it. And after that, no thanks.
It's funny you guys are talking like that because I have always loathed Dustin Pedroia as a person because he's on the Red Sox and because of his, you know, hard ass attitude and all that. But I don't like him as a player. I don't know what he brings, but I think he's an add if you need a middle infield option simply because he's going to play for the Red Sox. So he's going to score a ton of runs. He's going to drive in a ton of runs if he's even moderately okay. So I think he's a decent speculative add just if you really need, you know, a middle infielder and a 12 team league, maybe 15 team. Definitely. I think he's an add.
Yeah, it's weird that like I haven't had any issues finding middle infielders this year. I think I don't know. It's been a kind of a weird year in that regard. And Pedroia, it'd be different if he was hitting leadoff or second like he had in the past. But they're so stacked up there now. He's projected to, you know, be hitting like sixth in the order somewhere down there. And that really negates a lot of his value, which was tied up in runs scored as sort of a compiler type.
I don't know.
And
against the lefty, though, I could see him hitting very high up in the order because Benintendi can't hit lefties. He's batting like 209. Mitch Moreland can't hit lefties. So they're probably not going to have him out there. He's gotten better. Don't get me wrong. But he's just not that great he's a better platoon bat, which is what makes the Hanley thing kind of wonky. But I could see him against left-handers, you know, hitting second in the order. I mean, he's a beloved figure in Boston. Alex Cora is kind of an old school manager in that regard, so I could see him, you know, pulling some strings just to get that in place. But I think there's a little bit of upside here.
Van, real quickly, what would how would Boston residents sound talking about Dustin Pedroia?
Ah, Dustin Pedroia. late the show. I haven't done that in a while.
Exactly what I was looking for. Thank you.
Yes. Now we can move on to Daniel Megden, the mustache. Ooh, baby. Love me some Megden. So obviously you tossed the shutout his last time out. Paul, you digging on the Megden?
I do. I really – well, first of all, you're right. I mean, the mustache is legendary. But, you know, the changeup has gotten better this year. Every pitch has kind of gotten a little bit better, except for the curveball. But that was already his best pitch, so I'm not too worried about that. I've liked him ever since he kind of came up. He's another one of those command guys. Never really got the strikeouts as a Bieber or a Musgrove in the minors, but always had good command. And I don't know. For some reason, I really like Megden. I have him on a bunch of teams this year. And I don't think he's going to be this good, but he could definitely be a mid-3 ERA sort of guy with a low whip, like almost like a J.A. Happ, but completely different.
Perfect comp.
Yeah, exactly.
The mustache is solid. I don't know if I'm going to rush out and add him. I think the ERA is kind of deceiving. He's averaging under 6 Ks per 9. There's other stats to like here. I don't like the fact that he's only stranded 68% of batters. But what I will say is this Oakland rotation is pretty damn good if you look up and down it. When they can get the kind of season they're having out of Trevor Cahill, which is a guy that I never thought that I would trust, and I added him in a couple leagues. In a deeper league, Mengden's a guy that could maybe help some ratios there, help you out a little bit. But you're not going to get a ton of strikeouts there. So, Van, I must ask you what you think of Daniel Megden.
This is not going to make Nathan happy, but I tend to avoid pitchers who strike out 4 batters per 9 innings or whatever. Hence Gibson, who'd been doing that forever. Like, why did Kyle Gibson have a job for so long? But then suddenly Kyle Gibson is really good this year. So I think if that can happen to Kyle Gibson, I think that can happen to Daniel Megden, because I think his stuff is better, because Kyle Gibson should be loaded into a cannon and shot into the ocean. Like, he's just terrible, and I don't understand how he's succeeding this year, and I can't imagine it continues.
As long as you're talking about Kyle Gibson, I was watching MLB Network today. Guess who has the number one whiff rate on his slider in baseball?
Tyson Ross.
Kyle Gibson.
No, obviously it's Kyle Gibson. Come on,
man.
Like shoot him 64%, I think,
right
is what it said.
Into the ocean. That's where he can be eaten by a whale. I don't care. I don't get it with Kyle Gibson. Mingdon is obviously pitching really well. He's only walking 0.81 batters per nine. Something has to give here. You can't strike out that little and walk that few, which means you're probably in the zone a lot, and be that successful unless you're Greg Maddux. So, and Daniel Mingdon is not Greg Maddux. So I think something changes. XFIP really thinks he's more of a 4 ERA guy. I don't really trust XFIP a lot simply because that's so speculatively based on home runs, but that tells me that he's probably also keeping the ball in the yard. 0.81 home run per nine, that's probably going to go up. His career rate's a lot higher than that. He's a fine ad if you're desperate for a guy, but he's not a guy I'm going to hang my hopes on.
Well, that made me a lot less angry than what I thought you were initially going to say, which is I don't trust pitchers with mustaches.
Oh, who would say that? That's preposterous.
That'd be a terrible take.
Did you not?
I mean, especially from the man with the mustache.
It's gone. Don't worry.
Oh.
I added a few more days, but then I couldn't handle it anymore, so I had to get rid of it.
You mean too many like mothers with their small children are fleeing from you?
Like they pull their children closer to them and walk on the other side of the street. Yeah, stuff like that.
What a shame.
There's this enormous man with a mustache and long hair wandering around smiling at people. And people like, no, I'm getting away from this.
Terrifying. So there is a place for Mingdon, probably not in the top 30 just because of the lack of strikeouts, but he'll be your whip guy. You know, he's going to not give up a ton of hits, not walk a bunch of guys, but you know, you look at a 246 BABIP and then you look at his hard contact rate, which is 38%. Those two things do not mesh. So that ERA was going to come up in a big way. He's been pretty fortunate so far. But you know, like you said, Paul, I think a mid threes pitcher, that's a pretty fair target, I think, if you expect that the rest of the way.
He's prime Mike Leake. That's what he is.
Oh, God. Now you just made me hate him.
Prime. Now that's some upside, baby, prime. Right there. Yes, yep. Sir.
Speaking of firing into the ocean, yeah.
Well, you know who you wouldn't fire into the ocean? Gorkys Hernandez, who is hitting .310 on the year with a .341 on base, a .509 slug, six bombs and three steals in 45 games. Paul, are you buying Gorkys Hernandez?
My favorite part is that you decided to put Gorkys Hernandez last on this list because he is easily the least interesting name on this list. There's nothing.
Well, the name
I don't think
itself
he,
is very interesting.
Well, okay, yeah, that's fair, very fair, but. There's nothing that he's changed. There's nothing really. It's just kind of a hot start. He's this year's Jeremy Hazelbaker.
Ooh, good comp. Ooh. I like that.
That's all I have to say. You could go.
the only thing I got is if you add him, you're allowed to use the team name Weekend at Gorkys.
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
So that's about it. Yeah. I got nothing else. No, thanks.
I think the .310, .341 marks, the batting average and OBP, maybe that's somewhat sustainable, but that .509 slugging is not going to remain. That's going to plummet pretty precipitously. So I mean, I don't buy into what he's doing, but ride the wave while it's high. So put him on your team if you're desperate. Kick him off as soon as you start seeing the numbers plummet.
Which will be soon. So yes. on that wonderful note, Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we'll have you on again sometime shortly. But before you get out of here, please promote anything and everything that you've been working on that you got coming out in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, so I do a thing over on Razzball every week for Fab. It's called the Fab 5. That comes out on Sunday. I do my prospects of the week over at Prospects 1500 every Monday. And then pitcher list is kind of just like whenever. I've had a really like rough month as far as like kind of personal stuff goes. We don't have to get into it. This is not that kind of show. But anyway, I should be getting back to those articles pretty soon. And yeah, just tons of stuff coming up this season. So I'm excited. Thanks for having me on, guys. Had a ton of fun.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for taking your time to join us today. I had a blast. And next week, maybe we'll come back with another guest. Maybe we won't. I will leave you all in surprise. But until then, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.
Up in horsey heaven, here's a thing. You trade your legs for angels' wings. And once we've all said goodbye, you take a running leap and you learn to fly. Part that hurts the most. Humans cannot rise. Someday we'll saddle up again, and I know I'll always miss my horsiest friend. Spread your wings and fly, spread your wings and fly.